Tonight, Representative John Cabello checks in from Springfield. Then later, we'll get a Chicago sports update from Mark Carman. And finally, we'll discuss a proposed law regarding Viagra. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I am broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, the capital of our state, because tomorrow Governor Rauner is presenting his budget address, and people are already making jokes down here on both sides of the aisle. They don't know what that's going to look like because he did the same thing last year. He did a budget address, and I think we all know how that turned out, don't we, Craig, Rob, Esmeralda, where we are today?
Yep.
Without a budget.
It's going to be a very short speech.
I know. What do you say, considering like last year's – I was asking someone tonight if, last year's address, a lot of the things that he said obviously never came to fruition. And in fact, a lot of things that were promised or guaranteed actually became vulnerable almost right away, which is one of the reasons I'm even here today and started coming down here last year, which was funding for programs like autism, after-school programs. They had been promised that those things would not be affected. And by April 3rd, those budgets were cut. So I'm just wondering, as I said that out loud, I'm like, oh God, what's going to happen this year if we didn't have any budget last year? It's very scary. Everyone kind of, it's a different tone down here this year as it was as compared to last year. The last few weeks have been interesting as I've talked to many of our representatives, and we will talk to Representative John Cabello and Representative Stephanie Kifowit in just a little bit. But I almost didn't make it down here, and I want to ask our listeners if they had the same situation this morning. If anyone was trapped in this morning's traffic because of the protests, please give us a call or text us at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200, because I kind of want to know your thoughts on it. Because, Craig, I've been thinking about this all day.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I almost didn't catch my train, and I was in the cab, and I thought, well, I just don't have to go to Springfield. That's all. I mean, I'll cancel my hotel, and we'll just, you know, that will be that. I didn't have any other way. I don't have a car to drive down here. I was trying to catch a train at Amtrak. But I was wondering, I mean, like a lot of people who, you know, have jobs where you can't be late, or, you know, or surgeons, or any hundreds of other different situations that feel very immediate, very intense, and are not fixable if you are caught in traffic. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, protest being a valuable form of, you know, getting your concerns out there. But I'm wondering now, and Jill Erchek had a great point about this last year. You know, she just was, I'm just mad at your cause. And I'm not mad at the cause, but I'm wondering, without a unifying voice, like, you know, the civil rights movement had Martin Luther King, is there a movement now anywhere that has the kind of impact that you actually want from these protests? Is just my general question.
Take Black Lives Matters, for instance.
Right.
Who is the leader?
Right.
I'm not arguing the point that they're trying to make. Certainly, you know, we have that undercurrent now, and it's now at the forefront, especially after Ferguson, Missouri. But who's leading the group? I mean,
right.
You made a great point. Where is that unifying voice?
Yeah, and even if it's not just one person, but the movement itself just feels haphazard. We've talked to Peter Nikias, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, and he's covered these protests. And he said it's been like a lot of students. It's been people who aren't really involved in the communities. A lot of times the communities, the people who live there, don't necessarily want these protests. And here's the thing. Does everybody even know what this morning's protest was for? I mean, I know what they're for. I had to look it up. But I'm wondering if there is a different way to do, because we live in a different time and our attention is so distracted and off in so many different directions, there has to be a better way to get people's attentions. If you want to change people's hearts, I don't think we can do it this way by disrupting their lives. When has it worked last is my question.
Well, and you made a good point too, Patty. You got stuck in this traffic, and did you notice as you were stuck in everything that that's what was happening? There was a protest in front of you, or did you have to go back later or even have us talk about it?
You guys told me.
Yeah,
exactly. And Stephanie told me at 3 o'clock.
So the reality is, for this specific action, only the people at the very front of where this is happening would actually be aware of what's causing it. The rest of you just sit and then you move again. And you have no idea what even happened.
I had no idea why we came to a complete stop. I thought that there was an accident, but we tried going southbound on Michigan, and then we tried going west on one of the other streets. And no matter which way you went, traffic was completely stopped because it was right at Congress, the Congress Parkway, which is going onto the 290 and 90. So traffic in and out was completely blocked, and it was just very I don't even know if I was sitting in my car, if I'd known what the protest was about, if that would have been, I would have sat there and gone, oh, okay.
Right. And maybe it's that missing unifying voice that would actually tell people beforehand, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it. So we all know that it's coming and know what the reason for it is. So when actually the protests do happen, there's more context given to it. Because right now, like you guys are saying, without a voice, there is no context to some of the things that they protest and how they do it.
Although I'm also thinking, they're looking for you guys to know, whoever's in the area, but I think it's more to get publicity and to have the news cameras show up rather than whoever is like right there know. It's more,
that's a great point.
I want the cameras to know.
And that's what I'm wondering, is that because that, right, because it is more about the cameras and the tweeting and the social media, all the different aspects of that, then does it have to be this way? Because then if you can control your own social media, you can create something else that can be bigger and better than blocking the Congress Parkway.
Exactly.
I think that there is a way to document the actual things that are happening, because the organization that was protesting, if what they're saying is happening to people, put a GoPro on the families that are being victimized, you know, something else. There is another way to do this that can be more effective and can reach the hearts and change minds.
Patty, but let's remind people why the protest was taking place. Remember, we brought it
up. Exactly.
They were protesting immigration policies.
Yes, exactly.
They were chanting dismantle ICE, which refers to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement people, defund the police. That was kind of their motivation for blocking the parkway. So there you go.
Yes. Well, that's why I was waiting to see if anybody called and knew that that had gotten stuck in traffic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I give away the...
No.
So
no.
Well, do I get the pizza?
You get a pizza.
You get the pizza.
Nice. Lumel pizza for Rob Martillo.
And luckily enough, you stopped by last night when they delivered it. So it was like the prize ahead of time. But yes, that's what I'm saying. They were protesting abusive treatment to many people who are targeted by immigration. So what I'm saying is there a way to and you know, a lot of times families don't know that they're going to be you know, scooped up by immigration. But is there a different way to do this where the people who are protesting aren't just lying in the street or climbing on ladders? By the way, they were right by a firehouse. So I don't know what the course of action is there if there's an emergency and they are now blocking traffic for an emergency.
I say something that might be a little bit dumb, just real quick? What's wrong with a regular protest outside of like a government building where you get to actually get people's attention and say things? Yeah. Wouldn't the cameras and everything still show up to
Not
to that?
Like today. Not like what I think Rob's got a point, because it you know, that was then on the news right away. Yeah. If there's a protest again in front of City Hall or the Illinois State Building, I don't think you get the same kind of coverage as traffic was shut down until 9:30 a.m. Then that's
no, you're
that's
right.
The way it goes.
You're probably right. Mm.
So just some thoughts we're having. We are going to talk to Representative Stephanie Kifewit when we come back and see what she thinks about the upcoming budget address tomorrow and maybe give me some inside tips how to handle Marine Corps boot camp. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from the Allstate Showcase Studios in Springfield, our state's capital. And we have on the line with us Representative Kifewit. And oddly enough, I just read that piece for WGN-TV about a huge tax break that Donald Trump got. Representative Kifewit and I were talking briefly earlier tonight about corporate welfare. What do you think when you hear a promo like that, that Donald Trump benefited from a deal with Chicago to have his building there?
Well, I think that in any form of assistance, that it should be a hand up than a handout. And unfortunately, with some of the programs that have been handed out to some corporations, they've been going on since as late as 1973. So we really need to revamp and relook at our incentives. I think business incentives to help them out is one thing, but to have them get the money for decades, it's not what the programs are intended to do.
Right, because one of the things you and I talked about, too, is that, you know, the programs that are suffering the most, and we were talking briefly with a woman who works with in the medical industry about continuity of care, and that's the part where, you know, there are hospitals and service providers who are taking out loans in order to make sure that patients get the care that they need, which is where people are getting hit the most, education, social services, mental health. How do we, I mean, people aren't feeling it unless they are the most vulnerable. How do we get this across to everybody that we are in dire straits if we don't help the people who need it the most?
Well, I think it's twofold. What we were talking about was, of course, the continuum of care. But what we're also not talking about is that these entities are small businesses in and of itself. So right. Not having a budget is really going to drive a lot of people out of work and a lot of businesses to shut down. And these businesses are, like you said, they're doctors, they're in-home care for seniors, and they're individuals that run their own business, do what they're supposed to do, but are getting no assistance or not even a budget at this point in time. But yet you turn around and look at incentives that keep getting paid out to the bigger companies. We really need to start focusing as a government on small business, mid-sized businesses, these businesses that are employing people, employ most of the people in our communities. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's anti-business that we don't have a budget. It's pro-unemployment, which is unemployment insurance will go up, which means government spending will go up. So not having a budget is actually costs us a lot more, not to mention the social impacts and just the fact that not having a budget is really ruining people's lives and really causing seniors, frail elderly veterans to suffer. And that's just inhumane in my book.
So for those who perhaps are joining us, let's just say for the very first time, people aren't paying attention. They don't know what's going on with the budget because, you know, there are people who go on with their lives. They are distracted by other things. They have their own problems. Maybe they really don't understand what's at the core of what has happened because this is 1 year exactly now within hours. The governor, you know, last year he was newly elected. He stood in front of the House of Representatives to the legislature, the General Assembly, and gave his budget address. What did he say last year? This is our budget, but if you do this, maybe we can talk. Was that what it looked like last year?
To my recollection, the governor has not really been open to dialogue and really discussing things. His budget address last year slashed funding for universities 30%, eliminated funding for alcohol and mental illness, you know, a whole lot of things. So it was, in essence, a slash and burn budget, but it was still out of balance. It was still out of balance, $3 billion. So what the General Assembly did is, what we do, let's just be honest, everybody talks about the budget, and I just want to be honest here.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
The General Assembly, all we do is we pass spending appropriation, which means that we pass the ceiling of how much you cannot spend up to, like what you can spend up to. So for rough numbers, say if you're remodeling your kitchen, the General Assembly would say, okay, you can remodel your kitchen, but you can only spend up to $10,000, right? That's what we do. But you still have the checkbook. You're still in charge of the spending up to $10,000. So you can spend below that amount if you choose. And when everybody talks about budgets and all the pundits, they want to go blah, 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 the budget, budget, budget. We, the General Assembly, spend no money. We have no authority to spend. The governor's office spends the money. The governor's office sends the vouchers to the comptroller who issues the check. We never touch the checkbook. We have no authority over what gets spent. So
is that Gumby or whatever the governor's? I remember hearing this last year during a committee meeting, and we were all trying to figure out what it meant. Is that what
the governor's office of management and budget?
Yes,
GOMB. Yeah,
they call it Gumby.
It's under the governor. Whoever's office or department he wants to handle the vouchers, his office is in charge. He got elected statewide. The spending goes through his office in some fashion or another. So just like we saw last year when the governor just decided not to spend money on things like autism, and epilepsy and indigent burials. He just stopped writing the checks last year. He just stopped
right.
authorizing the vouchers. So the General Assembly, where everybody wants to point their fingers at, we don't spend any money. We pass authorization to spend up to a certain dollar amount. So all this talk about budget imbalance, and the budgets always have an ability to be imbalanced because it's a future-looking document. It's
right.
a best guess of the future. And it's the office of the governor to manage that. If revenues aren't coming in, then they have to pull back on spending. That's their job. That's not the General Assembly.
And what everybody hears is, you know, our burden to the pension payment. And you and I also talked about this tonight earlier about how this has gone back to the 1950s. And we know where the you know, in the last, you know, in the last decade, has it gotten worse because there were certain programs that, you know, were expanded. But this is not something new where the General Assembly went, you know what, this year we want to pay for this, so let's borrow from the next few years. Is that how it looks?
Well, obviously, because in 1970, the general public of the state of Illinois passed the pension protection clause in the Constitution. So we're the only state that has a pension protection clause that says no benefits shall be diminished or reduced. And that is because since before 1970, like you said, 1954, the pension payments have been shorted. So it's no surprise that we're still in a problem today. And one of the problems is the refinancing proposal that came in under Governor Edgar, where now it's called a ramp. So it was flat for several years, and now the payments are ramping up, kind of like a variable mortgage on your house. And
right.
so the payments are you know, growing exponentially, and
right.
and it's taken up over 25% of our budget, 20%, $7 billion out of $35 billion.
Well, before we let you go, what do you anticipate happening
hey,
tomorrow?
Hey, you're not here. Now you're kicking me off already. What?
I know. I know, but I promise you would be able to get some rest tonight. So I've already kept you up late.
I know. Big day tomorrow. Governor's budget address is tomorrow. It will be on the internet, ilga.gov, so anybody can tune into the audio-visual section of the website and look and watch.
Thank you, because I encourage people to watch. That's the thing, is we can talk about it, but unless everybody else is informed on it, there's, you know, it's just our side and, you know, the other side, and everyone's just we're all trying to wrap our minds around this. We don't have time to talk
That's
about
crazy.
The Marine Corps boot camp, but next week I want to have you back so you can give me some tips on,
I will
I don't know.
Talk about it. Camp Pendleton's my base. I was there for 3 years. I'll give you all the skinny on it.
Oh, good. I want to know all the good places to go. It's Representative Stephanie Kifowit of the 84th District, and she represents areas in Aurora. You can find her on stephanie.kifowit at att.net if you want to email her. Thank you so much, Representative. Get
Thank
some rest,
you,
will
you? Have a great night.
You too. Thank you. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thank you for tuning in Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, our state's capital. And on the line with us is Representative John Cabello of the 68th District. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We were just on the phone with Representative Stephanie Kifowit, and I was asking her what her recollection was of last year's budget address. To her, you know, one of the things that she said her recollection was there was a lot of slash and burn to social services, and it was still out of balance. What's your recollection of last year's address?
I would have to say that she was right. Last year, I think, was we had to cut. It wasn't easy what we had to hear.
How long have you been serving your district, by the way? I don't think we've asked you that before. How long have you been in office?
I have been in since August of 12.
Okay, so
I started my fourth year.
You came in after the Governor Blagojevich sort of debacle.
Yeah, I was not in with Blagojevich. I think he was already serving some time. And Pat Quinn was the governor at the time.
So a lot of the things that have happened, I spoke to a consultant today, a budget consultant, who said he's been coming down to Springfield since 1997. And one of the things he said that really ballooned this entire thing was in 2006 and 2007, the decision to expand Medicaid in the program for all kids. And that was kind of where the biggest slash of payments of pensions came. So you kind of inherited, you've walked into a situation that was completely crazy. What was it like coming in 2012 and looking at the numbers and what appropriations were and where you guys stood? What was that like for you that first year?
Well, you know, I always thought that it was bad. I just didn't realize it was going to be this bad.
Right.
For a very long time, we've spent more money than we brought in.
Right.
You can't do that at home. Your listeners can't do that at home. We all have to live within our means. You and I can live outside of our means, but for only a limited period of time. We
right.
shouldn't let our government live outside of their means for a very long time. So I think it's time that we demand that we start living within our means.
And how do you – I mean, you know, I mentioned 2006 and 2007, but sort of shorting the payment pensions has been going on since the 1950s. There is no quick solution to this, but there has to be some movement in the right direction where you have, you know, still fulfill our obligations to our most vulnerable and yet meet our financial obligations. What do you see as a sort of a step forward in that direction?
Well, I don't know what the governor is going to say tomorrow. But what I do think is that we will all be surprised. I think that there may be a budget that is balanced, which we have not had since 2002, a truly balanced budget, whether that includes a tax increase, yes, tax increase, mm-hmm. or whether that just includes just all cuts. I think that we can have a balanced budget that is not hurtful to all. I think that tomorrow we will be pleasantly surprised as to what the governor has to say. I am actually more optimistic today than I have been in a very long time.
Can you tell us why? Is there something you've been told that that nobody else? Because you are the most optimistic person I've talked to all day.
Well, I will tell you, I am in a spokesperson on an appropriation committee, and I do have a little bit of information that I am not able to share.
I'm so glad I'm here. Then this is exciting. Wait a minute.
I tell you, make sure you do not miss it tomorrow. I think that the governor is going to do an excellent job tomorrow, and I hope that the rhetoric is toned down on both sides. And that we all come together and realize that we can all achieve what is right for our most vulnerable. We can all achieve what is right with a balanced budget if we come together.
Interesting, because it's a pretty wide gap right now, and especially in the tone. I mean, I was there for a little bit of the conversation for HB, for the House Bill 580 for arbitration today, and that was a long conversation. And I'm not, I don't know, you know, it was passed anyway. How long did that go on for? Do you have any handle on that? Because I think I came in part of the way through.
Too long.
it was long one. I was in the basement listening to it, and I thought, well, I guess I'll go up and watch for a while.
Well, I was there for the start.
Yes.
I was there for about 2 hours, and then I had a meeting for appropriations, mm-hmm. which I had to leave the floor for, which took about 45 minutes to an hour, and then I came back,
right.
And there was closing arguments going on by the sponsor of the bill, Representative Chris Welch.
Right. So that was so my point, though, if the governor does change his tone tomorrow, and you sound very optimistic about it, you know, is that something that will carry over into hopefully, because the impression from the other side of the aisle is the governor won't talk. The governor is not open to discussions when it comes to, you know, whether it's appropriations or tax increase or, you know, not budging on his reform agenda. Do you think that this will be the beginning of more openness with the executive office?
I believe so. And, you know, we all have, I do not know a representative, senator, speaker of the House, Senate president, or governor, or anybody in between that is not mindful of what's going on. I do not believe that anyone
I'm so glad
is
to hear that.
Right. An obstructionist for any one particular reason, except we do have some different ideology disputes. And sometimes those may get in the way of compromising. I think that we have the opportunity, starting tomorrow with the governor's address, to find that middle ground. And I think that the governor is going to lay the groundwork or the foundation of that middle ground. And I am actually, I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to see what actually takes place.
Hey, Craig, are you? Can you jump in for a second? Because in the entire time we've been going down to Springfield, have you ever heard anybody sound optimistic? Because this is the first time, I think.
This is the first time, officially.
Officially, can you mark it? It is 11:45 on February 16th. Okay, I'm just saying.
No, I'm marking it. I'm writing it all down. This is a really exciting moment.
Do you know what that means, Representative Cabello? You have to be on the show again tomorrow so that we can go over our notes.
You know what?
You've thrown this down now.
Make myself available for you anytime. You know, we all understand. We, you know, we have a kid named Tanner McDonald trying to start a small business in Seward, Illinois. We have Hayes Beer Distributed in Alsop and Rockford trying to make sure that they have lots of work for their employees. The least that we can do is come together and compromise to make sure that we move forward. We cannot stand still any longer. We must move forward. We can only move forward together.
Craig, he's also used the title of one of our segments, The Least We Can Do.
I know. This is getting eerie.
This is a weird moment.
I know. I feel strange right now. Are you sure you work as a politician, sir? I'm not positive.
I'm not sure what's happening on the
show. That is not my career, and I don't ever want to be called a politician. But it's time that we have real people doing what they're supposed to do. You tell the folks that elect you that you're going to try to do your best. Well, we need everybody to start doing their best.
Well, and that's something we've talked about before, is that nobody goes and, I mean, okay, maybe, but for the most part, it seems to me that, you know, you pursue this office in the hopes that you can serve your community. And, I mean, this is something that you have been committed to, not just as a representative, but also in law enforcement. And I want to thank you, by the way. I was on your website. I think this is a great idea. I think you are the only legislator I've seen that has all the bills. You have a slideshow for all the bills, all the laws that went into effect on January 1st. So for anybody who wants to know what laws were passed last year, go to johncabello.org and you can find that there's a whole slideshow. This is great, by the way. I had no idea. I didn't know about the
There's some really good stuff on there, and there's some pretty bad stuff on there. So
I did not know about powdered alcohol being Yes. What are some of the bad stuff?
Well, anytime that we start adding more taxes on folks, anytime that we start adding taxes on things that we already have to pay for, you know, the sin tax on different items are okay in one sense, but then are we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot on the other?
Right.
We should be creating a environment for private business to flourish so that they can hire people at a living wage. We should not be creating jobs. We should be creating an environment for other folks to create jobs so that we have the entrepreneurs going out every day trying to earn what they can for their family. Can we set minimum wage? Absolutely. Should we set it at a reasonable wage? Yes. But we should also let the market decide what some of those are as well.
We've had listeners call in and have that argument as well, as far as what the training is for certain jobs. That's a conversation for another day. I think it would be a great one. I think we should go through all the bills you have listed on your site here sometime, and not all of them at the same time, but I think we're going to pick a few and talk to you about them, because this is a great service you're doing right here, is to let people know what it is that the General Assembly did last year. It's all at johncabello.org, and you can click on the laws that went into effect on January 1st. All right, so we're going to talk to you tomorrow, and we're going to recap the optimism that you had and see if it came to fruition. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. Now go get some sleep, will you?
I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, sir. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase studio in Springfield, Illinois. I am in our state's capital to be here for the governor's budget address. And there's a lot going on. My husband told me tonight that he was kind of excited that I have a radio show. I don't know why he wasn't excited before, but he was saying, what a great year to talk about what's going on, you know, nationally. This is such an interesting time for us, not just in the state of Illinois, but obviously at the federal level. This weekend, tragically, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away, and within hours, it became a political football as to whether or not President Obama should nominate his replacement. Now, I wanted to talk to Rob real quick, because in your news, you mentioned the filibuster that President Obama sort of waged when they were nominating.
Well, he didn't wage it himself. He was simply part of a larger group of Democratic right. senators that wanted to do this.
Is Supreme Court Justice Alito on the bench?
He is, in fact. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. So the process worked,
I understand. I know exactly where you're going with this. And as president of the United States, President Obama has, in fact, himself gotten very, very wide swath. I mean, look, he has two very liberal justices on the Supreme Court right now, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan.
Okay.
So if we're gonna look at this in terms of who's gotten more during what point in his political career, you know, I think that President Obama's probably at about even right now.
But is it about more, or is it about who's the president? And then they go through the process, right? And a conservative Senate did confirm, and I don't know if the Republicans were in control when both Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor were confirmed. I'm not sure of the numbers, but right. I mean, that's always the fear. That's why this becomes an incredibly important election year for the next president, not because of Scalia, but there are other seats that possibly will become open, and actually most likely will become open in the next 4 years. So I'm not just talking about, because if it's Sanders or if it's Clinton, I mean, it's still going to, you know, that it, even more so than what perhaps happens in this year, because a lot of Republican seats, this is not a midterm election. This is a presidential year, and some of those seats will be up for grabs, and it may be even more of there may be more coming.
Well, I said last night, and you know, everybody heard me. I think that President Obama should go ahead and start throwing up nominees. Send out a short list. Let's see who's on it and go for it, because that's his obligation as President of the United States.
And part of the process is filibustering. I believe that the Republicans could and should, if that's what they see as part of the process.
I don't even think you really need to filibuster. If there's a nominee up there where, you know, you can get a coalition of senators together that says, well, you know, we don't feel right about this particular nominee, you don't even need to filibuster. Just don't vote on it. Just say, give us somebody else.
We've never talked about a filibuster. I only see it as what happened in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, right? Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
and then the process changes some hearts and minds. I don't know. Filibusters aren't really used to that extent. They're more to stall? Is it to delay?
Well, the rules are such these days that filibusters are basically pretty useless.
I mean, exactly.
If you want legislation to go forward, you can get it to go forward.
Right, exactly. So it's more of a protest. It's more of a display of protest,
absolutely.
A little bit like blocking traffic at the Congress Parkway. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late.
I'm ready to play.
It must mean it's time for Mark Carman. Carm, we are very glad to have you on the show tonight. Are you there?
I'm here, Patty. That was just so exciting and beautiful to hear, knowing that pitchers and catchers are reporting this week. Isn't that just lovely?
It is amazing. It's actually going to be 55 degrees here in Springfield tomorrow, so it's already feeling warmer, which means it's moving toward Chicago, which means all the snow is going to melt. And yes, we know it's going to snow again, whatever. Pitchers and catchers, love that.
Right, White Sox on Thursday, Cubs on Friday, and we're all going to the beach on Friday, too.
Hey, Carm. Well, you and I are going to San Diego, but here's my question. Do you think, I mean, I know that we don't carry any baseball teams right now. Do you think we could get the station to send us to spring camp? I'm just saying. I don't know why that wouldn't be.
Listen, Patty, I think anything is possible. I certainly never envisioned that I would be going to San Diego, let alone with you, let alone, the old courtesy of WGN. So I think at this point, anything is possible.
I think we're looking for a sponsor to send Carm and Patty to spring camp. That's what I'm saying. I think that needs to happen. Are the White Sox and the Cubs in the same town? They're close to each other, right?
No, they're not in the same town. They're in the same state, though, and that state is Arizona, which is very close, last time I checked, to California.
I don't think we can make the road trip from San Diego. I don't think that's happening.
Oh, I mean, dare to dream here, Patty.
What you're saying is you and I are never coming back from the West Coast.
Well, or just extending the trip a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or Carm, and I have the fight. We all have the fight for air climb on March 6th, so we have to come back. We'd have to go early in order to do anything extended.
Okay, fine. Let's go early.
All right. So, sounds good.
Done. No problem.
I like it.
Just a little. I love the Marines and all, but, I mean, just maybe a day off. I mean, we're going to be very tiring.
Hey, Carm, the Marines don't take a day off. We don't take a day off, all right? They're defending our country. We're going to bear witness to the kind of hard work the men and women in uniform, they prepare to protect our country, to make sure we can sleep safely at night. What?
Are we doing the drills, too, or are we just watching?
Some of them. We're both. We're observing, and we are also participating.
All right, well.
Are you okay with that? Craig, am I wrong? But I don't think Carm sounds like he's ready for what we're about to do.
No, right? If this is the Mark Carman they get when you guys go for training, they're not going to get the right mind frame Mark Carman.
Well, Carm was not at the they're giving us all the information.
Right.
Meeting. We had the layout of everything, the scheduling. We met with other educators. We are considered educators, by the way, Carm, in this situation. There are teachers and principals and gym teachers who are going to be there to hopefully encourage students who are pursuing perhaps a life in the military to choose the Marines. But my favorite thing was that somebody raised their hand and said, "Can we go to Tijuana one night?" So that was...
And then also, you know, Patty, you do remember Mark in the stairwell the one time we shot that video recently. I think, Mark, and I apologize to say it this way, you were more into the video recording than the running of the stairs. Is that correct?
No. Well, you know, I think that's was certainly your viewpoint, Craig, and I think you pointed that out at the time. But
I don't know.
You know, in my mind, I had the best of both worlds going on. And...
The point I'm trying to make, Patty, is that if there were no video component to what you're doing with the Marines, I don't know that Mark would be going.
Interesting.
If he didn't get to be on the all video thing, I don't know if Mark's in.
By the way, we do have a video on WGNRadio.com for our Fight for Air Climb training, which Carm was a part of. And the whole crew was there. Craig, you're in there.
I know. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all I remember about that, Patty, and that was a couple days ago now, I just remember everyone's effort to be absolutely stupendous, except I thought that Craig, had to be encouraged by me. And I think that Craig's trying to defer or just, take attention away from himself right now. And that to me is not the sign of a professional.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Those were fighting words, Patty, I guess. Yeah, this is getting intense.
This is for charity. I don't know what's happening.
No, I do need him to motivate me, though. I am expecting that when we do the Fight for Air Climb. I am expecting Mark to be my cheerleader.
I thought you wanted pizza.
I do also want pizza. By the way,
we have not heard from Joseph Giannini nary a bit in the last few weeks.
I don't know if there's going to be pizza.
I don't know if there is going to be pizza. I had to order you a pizza. We'll have Lou Malnati's. We don't need Giannini. We will have a... Craig, I promise you at the end of this, we will have a Lou Malnati's pizza for you.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I'm very excited about all that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All good. Yes, so we will be prepping for our trip to San Diego, and we're visiting Camp Pendleton. We are going to be participating in some of the training. I believe, Carm, they're going to give us weapons, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of weapons?
Did you not see any of the photos? I really need to get your kitchen up to date.
I'm very intimidated by the whole thing that's going on, Patty. I mean, I'm getting emails from a sergeant. This is just not something that I've ever had in my life before. So I think I maybe have perhaps skimmed over a couple of the details.
He wanted
the other day. There's accountability and all this stuff going on, which is very it's intimidating, to be honest.
Well, he did want a lot of information, and I told him that if anything goes sideways, I'm sending my children after him, and he said that was fair.
Okay, well,
are you okay? Are you having second thoughts about going to Camp Pendleton?
No, never. But I was under the impression that we were going to be staying in the barracks, but that's not actually true. We're staying at a Holiday Inn, correct?
We are staying at a Holiday Inn. Yes. Did you know that? By the way, and I think that you have to share a room. I don't know what they decided to do with you. I have to have my own room because I have to broadcast the show, and we thought it would be inconsiderate for me to share a room with someone and keep them up until 2 a.m.
Oh, so.
So you'll be kind of in a barracks. You'll be in a Holiday room with somebody else that you don't know.
So what you're telling me is that.
Yes.
I'm going to have some random roommate who may or may not snore, may or may not smell, may or may not kill me, / like me, something like
right.
that.
Right. Something along those lines. Yes.
And Patty Vasquez is going to have her own suite all to herself and will be able to sprawl out and enjoy her week.
I don't know about suite, but I'm certainly going to have my own quarters. I have to broadcast the show, just like right now. I have to have my own space. My neck muscles tightened up when they were like, we'll assign you a roommate. And I was like, this didn't go well in college. I don't think I can do it for a week. I'm an adult now. Yes.
So wait a second. You have your own room.
I briefly thought about asking if you and I could bunk together, which would be weird, but yet somehow it still would be weird, wouldn't it, if we bunked together? But I still have to be up late, and they wake us up. Oh, so here's what's happening. We have to get up and on the shuttle by 6 a.m. every morning.
Real quick, Patty, do you mind? I need a clarification for Esmeralda Leon. I don't know if you guys know Esmeralda. she heard Mark saying that he was staying in a room with someone else. Is this just a stranger?
I believe.
Or is this someone that actually is also going to the boot camp?
Oh, no. No, they're also going to be going to the boot camp.
Okay. It's not someone that's just, there for
business.
Just
like a business guy?
Yeah. like a Holiday Inn's been turned into a youth hostel.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I think to recap, I think for Esmeralda and everybody else and for myself here, there's a Shanae and a Jackie coming from WGN.
And they're rooming together. They happen to be together.
Patty's going to have her own room of just glory, gloriousness. Mark, Carmen.
Yes.
Me.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's going to have a roommate to be determined who could be anything.
Yes, could be anything. What do you think?
Wait, as in like a Wookiee? What are we talking about?
Yes, I saw everyone that was going to be joining us on this trip, and everyone seemed to be perfectly fine. There was I didn't see any nervous tics. There were no loud outbursts. There were no... there may have been a cowboy hat or two in the crowd.
I just think it...
Yes.
Here's the thing, and listen, I'm very happy to have been included. I'm really looking forward to being there and being a part of everything. But once again...
You didn't know about part?
I have I'm roommate TBD, and everybody else has tremendous sleeping quarters.
Yes, and the thing is that had you been at the orientation, by the way, that was the word I was looking for a few minutes ago. Thanks, everyone. The orientation meeting, people were able to pick roommates, so we were all mingling.
So this is your fault, Mark.
So what you're saying is that, with all due respect,
to everybody else out there. But for most people that actually have friends or normal ones, those are all getting scooped up. So I'm going to be left with the one random human being that nobody wants to hang out
with. Well, and let's make sure we say this. Are you sure it's just one person, or maybe it's going to be a couple in you? Maybe it is two people that have friends, and then Mark is the third.
Oh, that was, well, that could be interesting. Was I believe it was, they said two to a room, and that if you did not know anybody or did not have someone that you wanted to bunk with, they would assign you someone.
Is there any chance that I could be assigned like a sergeant who might just like whip me into shape in the middle of the night? And be like,
that's possible. Yes, I think that is possible.
Maybe this
you want to email
future best friend.
Yeah, this could be. Hey, this is a whole new world for you. This is a new experience. Be open to it. And by the way, I was starting to sweat because I was like, I can't. Please don't make me stay with somebody else that I don't know.
I mean, has anybody ever gone AWOL on any of these?
I would think so. By the way, do you know that they pick us up? Like, they're going to pick you up and take you and deliver you to the airport. Like, you're not – there's no moment of freedom. From the moment you walk out your front door, there isn't a moment of freedom.
Are you telling me that somebody's going to come to my apartment and pick me up?
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's they're happening. Not.
Yes, they are.
That cannot be true.
You know, Patty, I hate to jump in for just a second, but are you sure that that's not a Patty Vasquez perk and something that Mark Carmen does not get?
No, it's entirely for everybody.
We'll see.
Yes.
Are they going to have whistles and yell at you?
Yes.
Don't they? Isn't there like a mandatory dinner that we're all going to, or did I miss that?
You missed it. You were on the air. I sent you a picture of my big tube television the night that we had the orientation meeting. Do you remember
that? How did I just miss that?
It was the night before the Super Bowl. You didn't know about it? We thought you knew about it, but you were on the air. It didn't matter.
I was most definitely did not know about it. That's probably on me because everybody else seemed to know about it.
It was in one of your emails. Please let us know that you can attend the mandatory orientation meeting.
I think what happened there is that I've been ceremoniously shut out of my WGN email. I have to talk to Art Nasseri, who's the king of the world, you know, just somehow, some way, this was not communicated to me, shockingly, and now I'm staying with roommate psycho to be determined.
Mark,
that's okay though.
You are sure that you're flying, right? You're not like on a megabus to get down there. By the way,
I'm not sure, Craig.
Okay, good luck with that. By the way, we have Rich on the line. He wants to make a point for Mark.
Yes.
Rich, go ahead.
Hi, Patty. Great show. Listening to your conversation,
you.
I was in the Army for 25 years. Of course, went through boot camp, and just listening to Mark, if he shows this kind of timidness when he gets there, they're going to go Full Metal Jacket on him, man.
Weakness. You know? You're saying they can sense weakness is what you're saying, Mark.
Oh, yeah. They're like drill sergeants are like wild dogs. They find somebody that's scared and they're going to go off on him, you know.
Rich, whatever happened to honesty, I am scared and actually kind of at this point now terrified of everything that's about to happen for 5 days while Patty's in her own room.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I felt the same way when I first got the basic training. Mm-hmm. Then I realized it's all a game, you know, because the way it actually works out is, I've heard this from drill sergeants after spending a lot of time in the Army, when they first get you in there, you are an individual, and they want to break you down and make you a team, so, you know.
So you follow orders, right? So you'll do whatever they say, yeah.
Right. I mean, you start out, you're an individual like you guys are right now. You know, you've got your own mindsets. Well, they want to get you into a group mindset. So you'll have, like, two drill sergeants. One will be wild dog, like, on Full Metal Jacket. And another one will start to be a nice guy, you know.
Mm.
And
watch out for that guy.
Soon, no, I mean, he's all right, you know. But before long, it's going to be like, you hate the Full Metal Jacket guy, but then after a little bit, all of a sudden he becomes, you know, you start sticking up for him. You know what I mean?
But,
Rich, the way I'm seeing this is I think that me and you need to get together for like a 3 or 4 day pre-trip training. How do you feel?
That's a good idea.
You know, at least they don't have, at least you're not going to have to get your hair shaved, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, they won't shave your head. They did when we went to basic, you know, but you'll enjoy it. I mean, just like go through, you know. You'll have a real good time.
You sound so committed to that. We're totally convinced by your tone of voice.
It's just don't
Rich.
Weakness, you know. It's gonna be bad, you know. If they see your weakness, like I said, they'll be like a full metal jacket on you. But just go in there and say, "Hey, I can do this. If Patty can do it, I can do it."
Take it until I make it. That's what I'm going with now. That's what I'm taking away from this conversation. Take it till I make it, Rich.
Exactly. Yeah, be chill.
Yeah. Be cool. Go in there and just do what they say. Don't show fear. And enjoy the rifle range, man. That'll be the fun part. You know, that's going to be like there's always a reward at the end, you know. And besides, you guys get, just think of this, you guys get to go back to a Holiday Inn.
That's right.
And yeah, you may have a roommate that you don't really know, but you'll be able to go to the bathroom to close the doors.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Oh,
yeah, Carm needs a break to go soothe himself. Let's take a break here, and we'll be right back after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Carm, you okay? You gonna be all right? You think you can hang in there?
I've already been my head is spinning, to be honest.
Okay. Go soothe yourself.
If this roommate is a disaster, I will be bunky.
In my room?
Yeah.
We'll have a mixer. You can be my co-host all night. We'll get our fuzzy slippers on. We'll have, we'll have hot toddies or whatever your nightcap is. I'm a big fan of Grand Marnier. We'll just, we'll do each other's toenails. It'll be fun.
That's great. I've been working on those skills for many years. So you'll be
honest. I honestly wouldn't mind sharing a room with you. I just don't know. You know, I'm going to be up until midnight. We have to get up every morning at 5. So we'll figure it out.
Are we getting up at 5 in the morning?
The shuttle is at 6 a.m. every day. Yes. So you can get up at 4:15 and then just run downstairs. But I'll be getting up probably at least 5:15, 5:30. I don't know.
Wow, I think if we have to be on the shuttle at 6, Patty, then we should get up at 4 and go for a nice, you know, one-hour run. Come on now.
Stairwells. Well, although it's San Diego, we'll figure out something fun to do.
Yeah.
Tijuana's very close. All right, good night, Carm. Thank you so much. Follow him on Twitter, @TheCarm. He'll be panicking for the next 2 weeks before we go to Camp Pendleton. Good night, Carm.
Good night, Patty.
Thanks. More after this on 720 WGN. We are all up pretty late, and some of our listeners are kind of having a good time hearing the panic in Mark Carmen's voice. Yes, Tony, we will make sure we have lots of camera opportunities with and movies of me and Carm and Shanae and Jackie. But people are responding to. Do you think it's the fear in his voice? I think it was the surprise. I feel bad. I thought he knew all that stuff.
Well, it is also some of the things he didn't know, which were the most amusing, like the fact that he didn't know about the preparation meeting. There's some things that Mark seems to be a page behind everybody else.
Well, I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one that is awful at reading everything in my emails. But he seems a little worse than me.
Yeah, he seems like he has no idea what's happening there.
Yeah, there are photos of the participants on the firing range.
Nice.
Which I think is kind of a draw. I've done that before with the FBI Academy. And but there is a little bit of – we do some of the running, some of the hiking, some of the carrying equipment. It seemed like there was also a lot of downtime, a lot of enjoying the environment, getting to know the recruits, finding out what's going on in their lives, you know, their history, their dreams, their goals, and I'm excited about that.
It sounds like a really fun, I mean, maybe not for Mark in the Megabus trip, but the rest of it sounds really great.
I don't know how to explain to him that it did sound a little cloak and daggery when they said that I think they used the word retrieving us from our residence.
Yes.
And depositing us at the airport together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really sure what
that is.
About that.
That's all a little good luck.
Yeah.
They just don't want you to get lost.
Yeah.
I think that was it. I think they don't want us to be. There's a point where they don't want us to be responsible for ourselves. They don't have any faith in us. My guess is it's based on previous experience in this situation.
Well,
aren't you there to also be molded?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the whole experience.
Soldier.
Then. Yeah.
I don't know about perfect soldier, but an influence on future soldiers.
Soldierish.
To attract people to the life of the
soldier-like.
Soldierish. Yeah.
Reminiscent of a soldier at times.
Well, they want us to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And clearly, we're already well on the way to doing that.
Oh, you guys
that.
Are going to do so well.
Oh, we are so on great. The path to seriousness. Mm-hmm. I don't know who okayed all of this.
Now I'm curious. Are you going to wear lipstick?
Oh, good question. And yes.
Oh. Good luck with that.
Actually, former Marine Representative Stephanie Kifowit did mention that she does CrossFit and laughs at the fact that when she sees my CrossFit photos, I have lipstick on. What she doesn't know is that I also have false eyelashes on.
Patty, so. I don't mean to point anything out here, but G.I. Jane did not have any lipstick.
So. She also didn't have any hair.
You're right.
She also was able to do one-handed push-ups, and I believe she could do those. What are those things where you hang upside down by your knees and like then do crunches? Like she could do those things.
Yeah, she could do a lot of really cool things.
I really enjoyed that movie. Have I ever told you that I watched that movie during my labor when I was in the delivery room?
That is an amazing movie to watch. Yeah. I assume.
Well, there's two scenes that I can't actually reference because I can't use the language in them. But yeah, I can't. There's a scene where she's being attacked by Viggo Mortensen, and it's brutal. It's a brutal scene. And she tells him to do something. Mm-hmm. And then her whole battalion, who previously, many of whom were not on her side, were repeating the same thing, which was, I can't say it.
Wow. Did you request that movie, or was it just playing at the hospital?
I had it. I brought it with me. What do you mean did I request it? I brought it with me.
I was just curious if the hospital already knows that that's a good one to show, so it's just on a loop anyway.
No, here's the range. I actually watched – these are the two of the movies I watched, G.I. Jane and the other one, Legally Blonde.
Yeah, that's the same thing. That's exactly the same thing. Same message.
I'm showing you I have range.
Yeah.
We can do the girly and, you know,
I didn't know that during that whole process, the giving birth thing, you actually could watch a movie at all. I didn't know that you guys could focus on that.
Here's what we did. We checked with the hospital, which the first hospital was Lutheran General, to make sure that they had the appropriate audiovisual and inputs and outputs. You know that I have worked at Radio Shack, so I actually asked to see one of the rooms and their televisions. And
check the sound system.
All of that. I brought a PlayStation 2 with me, which you can also play DVDs on.
That's great.
So we played Spy Hunter and GoldenEye. We were playing a little James Bond. And I was in labor for 22 hours, Craig.
The first time it was 22 hours?
22 hours. The second time was also a lot. But
Can we just dive in? Can we fully talk about labor? That's a fine topic, right?
Nobody, yes,
okay.
Please.
So when you went into the hospital then, aren't you supposed to be in labor for a certain amount of time already before they even let you in? Or is that not how it works?
Funny story. So I was 2 weeks late. Griffin was due on August 17th, 2003, and was my birthday, and also the day I was opening for Lewis Black. I was scheduled to open for Lewis Black at Navy Pier, and we actually had someone scheduled to fill in for me in the event that I did go into labor. But my labor day came and went, and I actually enjoyed being late because it gave me more time to clean my house. I was severely nesting. I told Steve at one point, I'm like, this is the cleanest our house will ever be. And for the record, I was right.
It all's downhill from there.
And I was actually cleaning the day that I had to go to the hospital. The Friday before I actually delivered Griffin, they had me in. I was going in twice a week for non-stress. No, that's – I'm sorry. That was Declan. I was going in the last 2 weeks. I was going in for non-stress tests because I was late. So they wanted to make sure that the baby wasn't in distress, if they were missing anything. And the doctor told me that they scheduled me actually for the following Thursday. But wink, wink, if you happen to come in and feel like maybe it's your time, they will go ahead because you're so far gone. You're so far beyond your due date. But we are scheduling you. And, you know, if you decide not to do that, we're going to deliver you on the following Thursday. I've never told you this, Craig.
No, I've never heard the full labor story for your job.
So, well, Kathy and Judy.
Oh, I heard. I think I heard that part.
Every Labor Day. Yeah. Yes, every Labor Day, they would have mothers call in while they were in labor. So the idea was that I would go. I was not a regular at all on WGN, a little bit on Steve Cochran's show. We were just barely friends. He was very generous in his time. Every once in a while, he'd have me on his show to promote upcoming club events. But I really wanted to be on Kathy and Judy's show as a mom in labor. But the house wasn't clean enough, Craig. The house was not clean enough on that
Monday.
That's
the only issue. You know, people would have given you the excuse of being pregnant, you know, 9 months and
well, Steve and Griffin's – well, Steve really gives me grief about this because if I had gone in earlier, Griffin would have been born on September 1st instead of September 2nd, which means that he actually ended up having to start school an entire year later. I could have gone in. I could have gone in
No, that's better though. To be honest, because if he had been born one day earlier and then he'd been the youngest, that's not fun. Being the absolute youngest is not fun.
I agree. I love that he's the oldest and the first one with the mustache.
That's much better.
Class,
I'm born in October, so I was one of the older ones in class, and I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. My sister is born like right at the cutoff date, so she was always one of the youngest ones, and that it just doesn't seem to be the same. So
yes,
he's
I agree.
Wrong. Steve is wrong.
No. I think he, in retrospect, now is okay with it. But I was teased for a long time about not going to the hospital when I could have. As it turns out, when I finally did go to the hospital, Craig, and here's the fun part, I was actually in labor and didn't know it. My water never broke. I was already dilated. The contractions, I just thought I was having a little bit of...
I don't know how this any of this works now. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to learn. You can be in labor and not know it. That is scary.
I was already dilated.
Okay.
But
was
I was
the baby
stuck.
Already. Mm-mm. Okay. Good.
No, I was stuck. So I was not dilating more. So I was kind of like mid labor.
So your body had taken a break. It had started labor and then decided to take a nap. Got it.
And as it turns out, they think that I may have been leaking the fluids.
Oh, sweet God.
They had to break my water like a lot, like, and there was hardly anything left.
This conversation started and I knew where it was going. And then you just said that and I feel trapped in it. Now I don't know what to say. Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay.
I was leaking. You're I was leaking,
leaking your,
my water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can take a break, Patty.
All right. More after this. Let's see how it turns out on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield, Illinois, our Allstate Showcase studio in the Capitol. And Craig, you said we had a listener call in and say thank God for the break.
Yes, we had a listener just call in and say thank God someone told us to break because the conversation was getting a little bit too graphic for them.
Oh, because I was leaking fluids.
Yeah, I think that was.
But
the...
But that's a part of a pregnancy.
Yeah,
I mean, like we're talking about labor and delivery. This is very honest. That's the easy stuff. Like I don't even want to tell you about the hazmat sheet they have to spread under you. Just in case that you like, there's a lot of stuff that happens that I won't go into.
Well, so it's funny because this is not what we would term an adult topic, but we weren't told to break.
No.
We actually broke on our own, and I think we're going to continue the conversation. But I'm going to go ahead and play the warning just for that. Okay, no
if
I'm not.
You do, I will.
Okay.
I'll be even more graphic.
No, I'm not. I'm not playing the warning then. No warning necessary.
It's not,
yeah,
you
this,
know,
is
I,
not,
this is not.
I think most little kids are taught all of this.
Right.
So how can it be an adult topic?
And they're also asleep right now if anyone's worried that they don't want their kid to know this stuff.
This is about the beginning
nature?
Of my...
about birth?
Not just that, but Griffin. Like, it was one of the most amazing days. Mm-hmm. I remember when he was born, I thought right away, I can't wait to give him a sibling. I can't wait for him to be a big brother. It was so amazing. And I have to say, my father had died in 2001. And when Griffin was born, there was this feeling in the room, and I actually really did feel as though my dad was with me. So you know, you can be grossed out all you want. There are things that lead up to the most amazing, most glorious moment of your life, and it was delivering Griffin, and then 2 years later having Declan. So there are some really graphic things that happened before that. You know why? Because life is graphic. It is messy,
mm-hmm.
but in the end, it is all incredibly worth it.
Amen.
Griffin was practically smiling. I remember they held him up, and he was just so incredibly beautiful. But yeah, there was like this. There was almost like an absence of sound. Not like in that underwater feeling, but like this was everything I'd always hoped for was having being a mom.
I actually just watched a TED Talk on Netflix last night that talks about in moments like that, moments when you know that they're really important and they kind of the emotion takes you over. It feels like time stops. So in that moment, you're saying that you had no sound. It kind of felt like time stopped for you because you knew how important it was.
Yeah,
that is not an adult conversation. That is a meaningful one. Yeah.
So there you go. And it wasn't even like, I didn't even feel like a loss of my dad. Like I didn't even think I wish my dad were here. It was, I know my dad is here. and I was with my mom. I was with Steve and Griffin and my amazing doctors. Declan's delivery was much, much different. So I was in labor for 22 hours and 5 minutes with Griffin. I had to push for 2 hours. I had the epidural, by the way, for anyone who is in the process of wanting to become a parent, or already pregnant, and this is your first time, people will tell you all different kinds of things. A lot of women complained to me because after I had Griffin, I would talk about having the epidural, and I had a joke about how I had the epidural put in a week early, that I had it like in a, you know, I had it in a keg. Yeah, I would make jokes about that. I did have the epidural on my first pregnancy, and I hated it. Hated it, hated it, hated it. It makes you numb from the waist down. I don't like, Craig, this will be hard to believe, I don't like being out of control.
Yeah, that is very hard to believe.
Control freak.
I'm confused, though, about hating it, because the whole,
hated it.
From the waist down, things are happening that are painful, though, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, but here's what this is the kind of way I try to explain it to people. It, it makes you numb from the waist down, right? But your body is still experiencing the trauma of delivering a baby. So it circumvents a message to your brain, but it's still happening to you. So when that wears off, for me, it was excruciating. And the damage that I had done while trying to deliver Griffin was very hard to recover from. And that's just me. I know that some women, like, it's not a problem, and the epidural was the best way for them to go. Mm-hmm. When I was delivering Declan, I said no to the epidural, and it was gruesome. The pain, I was in labor for for quite a bit of time because they had to induce with him, and oxytocin sort of slows things down. But the pushing was hard leading up. The whole labor was very painful. I recovered. I bounced back much more quickly, not having had the epidural. So,
you know, during this conversation, I feel a little bit like Mark Harmon when he's going to his military training. I'm really afraid of all the things that are being said now. Yeah. It sounds scary.
But I was able to walk. Like, by the way, so the movie, do you want to know what we watched when I was in this? And maybe this is, you know, it was such a different experience all around delivering Declan. Because it was almost like I was trying to have everything be normal and be okay. Declan's, when I was pregnant with him, they did have to monitor me from the second trimester on because they had detected an irregular heartbeat. So there was concern that there was something wrong, but they could not see anything in any of the ultrasounds or any of the other tests that they ran. So it wasn't until Declan was born that they found out that he had an abnormal brain development and that his lungs had not fully formed. So but there was still this sense of there's something not quite right. And I should have known because we were watching the movie National Treasure with Nick Cage. And I blame that movie for everything.
I blame that movie for one of my worst short-term relationships. Not at all comparing to what you're talking about.
No, but still. It's not a good movie.
No, and it ruins.
How do they make a sequel? I don't understand.
It ruins all kinds of stuff. The person that I dated for 2 months after we made out during that movie was a horrible person. Yeah.
That's pretty much like being in labor, is whoever that horrible person was that you made out with.
Well, that part was okay. It was the next 2 months that were terrible.
You didn't even enjoy any new morphine. I had I had something called new morphine.
Wow.
So I did not have the epidural. So new morphine, all that did for me was help me relax in between contractions. So I felt every contraction. And then I could relax in between. So it was like excruciating, excruciating, excruciating pain, and then for like 30 seconds.
Again, I'm sad that Mark Carman missed this part of the conversation because, this is stuff we need to know, and it's terrible.
But it's
magical. It's beautiful.
It was well so it was a little bit different when Declan was born. I didn't push nearly. I only pushed for 8 minutes. Griffin, I pushed for 2 hours and 5 minutes. Declan, it was less than 10 minutes. And it was hard. It was very painful and it hurt a lot. But I don't remember the pain nearly as much as I remember the 2 hours with Griffin. But, you know, as opposed to what happened with when he came, we knew right away because he was not – he was blue. And they had to resuscitate him right away. So to the woman who said that, thank God you took a break, I don't know. This was the conversation we started, and I think we should go to the full extent of it. My two beautiful little boys. I've been telling stories. Last week I was in San Antonio, and I was telling them about Declan, and there was a woman came up to me. There was a woman who introduced herself, and she was from Wichita, Kansas. She's a police officer. And she came up to me and she hugged me and she thanked me. She has a child who has severe epilepsy. And she said she never really gets to go out and relax because she always feels like you know, something's going to go wrong, and it's hard for her to leave her child with somebody else. And, you know, and everything just doesn't feel normal to her. And she said, when watching my show and hearing a mom who goes through, has these other crazy things that have nothing to do with her kids, this whole life that happens, and also the struggles that we have, she said she was, it changed her. And that was, you know what, that was all worth it. Because it's just nice to know.
I got goosebumps right now. That was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very sweet. Because I get lonely on the road. When I go out and do stand-up comedy, it's not the easiest thing. I'm alone most of the time, and I try to have a good time, and I post pictures of stair climbing and stairwells, but I'm away from my family and my friends. But that night, I knew I was in the right place at the right time, so it was all worth it. So there you go.
Wow.
Those are my boys. That's the life that I have. Yeah. So Steve, by the way, Steve listens to the podcast. So I'm so sorry. He's going to hear the stories. He's going to say like, no, you forget. How about that? How about when you wanted, tell them all you wanted was mashed potatoes both times.
Is he going to listen tomorrow? Because if he listens before we're on tomorrow, he's invited to call in and tell us the rest of the story.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, both times all I wanted was mashed potatoes after, because like you're not supposed to eat. They're changing that, by the way, but you're not supposed to eat while you're in labor. So they had mashed potatoes in the fridge for me. That was all I wanted to eat. He was eating like Portillo's hot dogs and stuff. He had like a big shake.
That's not nice at all. That is inconsiderate. We can take a break here, Patty.
Oh, go ahead. More after this on 720 WGN.
We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned. But we will keep it classy.
We'll do our very best, because we are talking about, we're talking about body parts. We're talking about body parts that go into other body parts, and whether or not you need permission to have the ability to put those body parts in other body parts. Is that clinical enough, Craig?
Yeah, I think that was very clinical.
I think. All right then.
Right.
Things, stick it somewhere. So.
I mean, there's not like, it's not like anywhere.
Well, a lot of mystery. Sometimes.
Okay. Well,
I was talking about this last week on stage at San Antonio, that women don't speak up enough, whether it's in the affirmative or in the negative, when it comes to interaction, physical intercourse. You know, if they really like something, men seem to prefer if we express that loudly, right? It's encouraging, don't you think? A little bit.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that is very encouraging.
Yes, but I think that when we don't like something, we aren't good enough. We just kind of go, well, I guess that's happening again.
Which should be a cue to us. Mm-hmm.
But there are some girls that are very quiet. Like, they don't like to make noise. I've watched enough stuff.
Is there anyone that just voices when they dislike? Like, this, I dislike what's happening. This is not going well.
Can you play the warning again for me real quick? Just play the warning. Here's where they express their distaste.
Warning!
For yeah. The only time we are very vocal, Craig, is when we say something like, wrong hole! That's the time that we have. All right.
Oh, no.
No.
I can't play the warning enough times.
No, you really can't.
Okay.
I told you to play it again. Yeah, we played it twice. I don't know how many times.
They need a rim shot for that.
Oh, well.
Because it's not an accident. It's a conversation. All right? I'm saying. Anyway. So
I'm going to be very quiet now. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Well, and the reason we're talking about it, thank you very much.
Yep, delayed rim shot.
I don't think she meant that kind of rim shot. So here's the thing. All right, then.
Wait.
Yeah.
That one. Talking about that
one. That one.
Were you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So here's the thing.
Oh, God.
For some reason, in the last several years.
That's my thoughts on the segment?
That's what's going to happen if you don't have a conversation.
So you can't be stopped.
You can't win.
Oh,
no,
my God.
There's no winning. Okay, so I'm getting a little slap happy because, look, I've been down here in Springfield many times, and I've been fortunate enough not to have to listen to any conversations about the boudoir, about any sort of sexual activity, whether it's the kind that some find distasteful, or whether or not it's about reproductive rights and whether or not women should be allowed to use contraception, whatever, all those conversations. I've never been here for any of that. But apparently in Kentucky, a lawmaker has submitted a bill that would require men to visit a doctor at least twice and first obtain a signed permission slip from their wives before they can get a prescription for Viagra. So I love that this is on the floor of debate, right? Because here's what you have to imagine. This is a woman. Her name is Mary Lou Marzian. She has acknowledged that the bill has no chance of passing. Why do you think that is, Craig? Why do you think there's no chance it will pass?
I'm not sure exactly why you
most
think.
Of the legislators are men. They're dudes, and they're all going to need this, or possibly all using it. But she's using the bill to illustrate the absurdity of government encroachment into women's personal and medical decisions currently running amok in the Kentucky General Assembly.
Fair enough.
So, yes. So she, you know, when we talk about having ultrasounds and you should have, oh, vaginal ultrasounds. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say that was not an adult warning necessary.
Nope.
Because that is legislation when they say that a woman has to have a vaginal ultrasound, which, by the way, that's something that does happen occasionally. And, you know, you need that's something the doctor, as we were saying earlier, you need a heads up from your doctor that that's happening because there's also prep work involved for that. When you know you're having an ultrasound and you think it's going to be a little jelly on the belly and instead there are stirrups in the air and you're like, yeah, I didn't do a little dance in the shower before I came here today. What?
Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now that woman wants to know when we're taking a break. Tough.
No, it does make sense, though. Now that I understand, because I saw this story when you sent it over, but I didn't have time to read through it, that this is more a demonstration than an actual proposal. Because she's absolutely right. This is the exact thing that we are trying to do with taking away women's decision to do whatever they want to do. It is a very similar scenario and kind of, you know, ridiculous.
Well, and we've talked in the last few weeks about Michigan's legislation to make sodomy punishable by up to 15 years in prison, which, by the way, I really don't think people realize that it's not just backdoor activity when it comes to sodomy. It's also oral gratification. And I really suspect that those legislators just didn't know that, because can you imagine everybody really vote? Can you really stand there and say that's not – that all of those legislators do not ever participate or at least want to have the opportunity to indulge? I just find that really, really hard to believe, which, by the way, is also this legislator's point. Representative Marzian says that, you know, she wants all of the – every man that's going to take Viagra to swear on a Bible that make a sworn statement with his hand on a Bible that he will only use a prescription for a drug for erectile dysfunction when having sexual relations with his current spouse.
Wow.
Right? So that it's not going to be used for extramarital activity. That, you know.
My mic won't go back on.
I hear you.
Oh. Huh. Oh. It says it's off.
Do you need a pill for that?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You might need a permission slip for that.
By the way, we got Brandy on the line here. Brandy wants to jump in and say something.
Hi, Brandy.
I'm not here no matter what.
Some people may be confused about, like, why would you need, you know, your husband's permission to get anything? But I remember having to go home when 15 years ago, my son's now 18, and I got an IUD when he was 3, and I needed my husband's permission to get an IUD.
Are you kidding me?
No. It was in a Lake County family practice doctor. Yeah, I needed to have his signed permission. And so people, it's not like it was back in the, you know, in the 40s or 50s, this had to happen. This was in 97. So,
wow.
No. Yeah, 2000.
To get contraception, which was an IUD, which is something that has to be, that is something that you, you have that for
inserted,
years, right?
Yes. It's good for up to 10 years.
Okay.
And it's not like a daily thing you need. It's just a one and done kind of thing. And you don't have to think about it for the next 10 years.
And was there any reasoning behind wanting to have your husband's permission that he knew that you would not be in the process of trying to conceive?
The doctor just said that it had to be a joint concession. Joint concession, because I think he was thinking that if I didn't tell my husband I had this or something, you know, I think it was in a way protecting him, which was crazy. But, I was young at the time. I was 24. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. No problem. But just thinking about it now just floors me and pisses me off.
Yeah, you should be. That seems so weird. But, I mean, I could see going along with it, too, and being like, all right, yeah, I mean, I guess we should have a conversation about this. Like, if you want to know that we had a conversation about this, yeah, and then when you start pulling that thread, you're like, why should I? I mean, well, and Brandy, I mean, let's think of the you know, other women who maybe they're in a situation where they really don't want to get pregnant because they're, you know, in a domestic violence situation and the doctor says she has to get permission. Can you imagine?
No, I do, because I have a girlfriend my age that I worked with this woman, and she was in her early 40s, and she was the same. She forged her husband's signature on
right.
it. And they were Catholic, and she was just did not want any more children. They had the
right.
one. That was she was good. Then she had had hers in for too long. She started to have problems with it.
Oh.
So in her 40s, so she went to the doctor, had it removed, and the doctor had said, well, you know, now you need to use some kind of contraceptive until we, you know, get everything healed up. And sure as, well, she couldn't tell her husband, well, now you have to use condoms. You know,
right.
we haven't used condoms for the last 15 years. And yeah, she now has a baby boy that's about 2 years old.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow.
I know.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, it's yeah. one of those things. I you know, now I will find out if that's something that is still in practice, if doctors require the spouse's permission or acknowledgement that the an IUD is being used, because that seems just so...
And they have so many long-term, you know, there's injections and things like that
yeah.
you know, there's no physical, like, there's no pill that the husband can
right.
find, or there's no, you know, so, yeah, I'd be
right.
curious to find out, too, if it still is.
Yeah, a lot of people are listening saying, well, if they're married, they should know. We don't know what goes on in other people's homes, and we shouldn't.
Exactly.
And we shouldn't impose our morality on them.
Exactly.
Oh, Brandy, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Hey, Craig, you know what she gets? I think she needs a pizza. Have you gotten a pizza from us lately, Brandy?
Ooh.
No, I haven't, but, no, I haven't, actually. Nope.
Wait, it sounds like she might have. We'll have to
no,
check her records.
I had given one to the next caller. You'd offered me one before, and it was no pizza.
Now you're taking this pizza. You can give it to someone you know if you want, but now you're taking the gift card from Lou Malnati's. Go to loumalnati's.com.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Of course. We always love hearing from you, Brandy. Go ahead. Hey, Craig.
Yep.
Are any of our pretty late listeners texting anything in over the last hour? Because we've covered a lot of personal
yeah.
stuff. Though.
Well, from the 815, this was a while ago, it says that it sounds like you and Mark Harmon are going to have a private Benjamin experience.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little naughty the way you say it, but I think they mean, do you know what
the
private Benjamin
yeah.
is? Yes.
It's a movie.
I love that
Goldie
movie.
Hawn.
Oh, I love that movie. Right? Albert Brooks dies in the shower, and she just doesn't know what to do with her life. So
no.
she thinks she's going to travel the world. And anyway, it turns out for the best. And Ellen
oh, good.
Brennan is, yeah, ends up, I don't know why she becomes an albino, but something bad happens in her shower. Anyway, yes, what else? I love that movie.
I don't know what premise I just heard and how much, okay, all right. No, actually, someone from the 815 asked if we talked about actor George Gaines passing.
Oh, I didn't know that George Gaines
I was not aware of that either, yeah.
No. Oh, I don't... I need to pull up a name and picture. Can you give me a little something?
Sure. I'm pulling it up as well.
All right, then. We apologize.
We will get to this soon. A Punky Brewster?
Oh! Was it the dad from Punky Brewster?
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
Sorry about this Dexter. We've done a
really
poor job.
This is really disrespectful.
Job. Yeah.
Like, they wanted to know if they wanted to talk
poor.
To you. They were like,
Maybe Nick D can swing in and tell us some stuff about it. But Police Academy, he was also...
I love Police... Oh, Police he's Academy. So funny and such a charming actor. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And a great voice. Like this great, just sort of booming voice, too. Mm-hmm.
He was 98 years old, actually, so...
Mm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He passed away of natural causes.
By the way, he has the same name as George Strother Gaines, who lived from 1784 to 1873, who was an American leader in the Mississippi Territory. So I'm not sure if they were of the same family.
Wow.
George Gaines – I was spelling the name incorrectly. That's why. So George Gaines from Punky Brewster was also a singer. See, that explains a beautiful voice. I did not know that. There you
and
go.
That's it. We're caught up on texts.
Well, you know, there's a Craig. You sent a lovely link today, informing me of a pizza summit that is coming up on April 3rd. I believe is that correct?
I'm incredibly excited about this summit, first and foremost, and second, I plan on bringing some New York pizza to see if anyone wants to try that.
I don't know why you would do that.
I'm guessing it's not going to happen. No one's going to take me up on that.
I don't know, but apparently for like $35, you get all these different kinds of pizza. You get 5 beers. You get this incredible chef's creation of pizza. And we'll have more information as we get closer to that. But I think in Chicago, a summit usually means that there's a lot of differing opinions as to what – is truly a great item, or, you know, just whatever the topic at hand is.
Correct. So, and actually, they're going to have a bunch of people make pizza there. So there's going to be a bunch of different restaurants that are invited. They're all going to create their own dishes, and people are going to try them and then come up with the winner.
Well, there you go. It's a contest. Yeah, contests make me uncomfortable. Everyone should
me too.
Well, not yeah. everyone should be a winner, but still. It's so subjective.
Everyone should get at least a ribbon.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll
you, did, oh. you did leave out the most important part. The keynote speech will be done by Andrew W.K.
Truth. That is the most important part to some.
I don't know who that is.
Yep, that's what I thought. Patty, not to you.
What's right. Who is that? Who?
Esmeralda, would you like to fill us in on who that is?
I feel like this is going to sound
wow.
so mean, but wow. this is like when my mom asks me, like,
no.
what friend are you talking about? And you don't know who it is, so why am I going to tell you? Just go with that. Just go with Andrew W.K.
I'm guessing, though, Esmeralda, that a lot of our listeners are in the same boat as Patty.
Is he like a social media? Why is he licking something?
And they're now like curious.
He's a rock star.
He's a rock star.
I don't know, like, what.
Okay.
It does. Like, real quick, how do you explain that?
Real quick from the 224 before we keep going. I want to try New York pizza. Yeah,
okay,
224.
There you go.
Yeah.
This says the rock and or roller / motivational speaker / advice columnist / king of partying will be delivering a keynote speech at the event. So that's Andrew W.K., who I've never heard of.
Right. Oh, is music happening?
Yeah.
Part two of our conversation with Andrew W.K.
The who's listening?
All right.
Who's,
we're all
going to
learn
from?
About him.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm gonna...
Oh, this is your laptop, Patty.
Yes.
I thought someone here was playing something. I was panicking.
I'm just while we're I'm doing research while we're doing the show. Uh-huh. Is that a problem for you?
No, he's a punk rocker, a pop rocker.
He's got very nice
punk
biceps.
Rocker. Yeah.
He's got very nice arms and shoulders. Oh. A lot of hair. There's a lot of hair going on there.
Esmeralda, what's your favorite Andrew W.K. song?
She Is Beautiful is a good one.
Okay.
And you know, the first one that he came out with, Party Hard.
Okay. Craig, can you find us some of that music? Is that what you're looking
That's
for?
That's what I'm looking for, but I assume that I actually have to check this
for
lyrical
content. Is
yeah.
he a dirty lyricist?
Party Hard, you can probably, you know, in the beginning. And so mm-hmm. you don't have to play the whole thing because that would be very long. And
we're very
long.
Suspicious of your. Oh, dear.
Please turn this up on. Okay. And that's all I'm going to take of that. That's it. That's mm-hmm. That is heavy metal right there.
That's
right.
Not heavy metal.
That is easy.
I'm just going to throw that one out there. Not heavy metal.
It's a little bouncy. They got some bounce.
They're all
heavy
throwing
metal
their
bounce.
Hair. They're throwing the hair back and forth.
He's got a lot of hair.
Right.
Oh, he's a pianist.
Well, there's a piano. So I guess she's right. This isn't.
Well, I'm watching a video with him playing the piano.
Oh, nice. He's screaming and stuff, and he's throwing his hair.
See, I'm listening to videos here by myself.
It's the best segment ever. We figure out who Andrew W.K. is while Esmeralda
yeah.
quietly
Googling,
laughs at us.
Googling.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
So that you'll be able to see Andrew W.K. at the Pizza Summit. We can all find out together who he is.
The incredibly famous Andrew W.K.
Okay, this is what I've learned in the last half hour. These are the two guests I need you to book. Andrew W.K., I'm sure that'll be easy.
Oh, that's going to be such a great interview.
Actually,
too.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, for
he is the nicest. Like I've actually met him. He did a show here in Chicago like a million years ago, and he did it at the Metro, and across the street at the time it was just a parking lot, and so mm-hmm. he sat there and signed autographs until it was pretty much like no one was left.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the
so
nicest man ever. No, he's super, and he loves to chat, and he's a very talkative fellow.
We are a good show for that, Craig. I believe we can provide that kind of an environment if he likes
yeah.
to chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We don't know
right.
who he is, really, so that part probably won't be great. But other than that,
we'll do some research. We will be so good.
Such big fans of mm-hmm. Andrew W.K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his heavy metal music.
So that's one guest I need you to book. So it's Andrew W.K.
Okay.
Please work on that before
the
Pizza
Summit. Do you
want me
to get the rest of his heavy metal band?
No, just Andrew W.K.
Okay.
Esmeralda didn't seem... you know, excited about the rest of the band.
Right.
I think it's the thing of he has
See?
Kind of a round, like they interchangeable band. It's really
See?
Just him.
There
so is he your favorite heavy metal artist?
Well, he's not heavy metal. Just going to say that now. I probably wouldn't say that to him.
What now?
Just going to throw that out there. Okay. Probably shouldn't.
It's your favorite heavy metal artist.
Say things to people that they're not. That would
the other guest
be
that I'm going to need you to get. I need you to get State Rep Mary Lou Marzian from Kentucky. She is the legislator who introduced the you need a permission slip to get Viagra bill.
Is so, she also going to be in a heavy metal band?
I don't know. We can see if that's something she's interested
in. I would make that request.
But yes, so please see if we can get her on the show as
well,
because she seems because I was what I wanted to ask Representative Cabello, because he was talking about sin taxes and are we really you know, are we doing our best job by adding taxes to things, and are we, you know, doing the best for people? How close do you think I was to asking him about the tampon tax?
Oh, so close.
So that I did mention that to a couple of legislators today, asking if that's something that's coming up. I think I'm going to have to ask someone to sponsor that bill.
We need to take a break yet again. Sorry about that.
Forgot take a break after this. All more right. Tampon tax later. 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studios in Springfield, Illinois, our state's capital. Tomorrow, Governor Rauner will present his budget address. And it was interesting to hear Representative Cabello sound so optimistic about it. That's really, Craig, the first time we've had any legislator sound like perhaps there's going to be some progress. I mean, he sounded like he had secret information that he wasn't going to share with us.
I am very curious to hear what happens tomorrow now because of how optimistic he sounded, like he said. It was very interesting.
Yeah, because I was all ready to go all cynical, and now I'm like, okay, all right.
Maybe there's going to be some good news.
I get a copy of the speech right before it happens, by the way.
Nice.
So, I know.
How soon before it happens?
Moments.
Okay.
Within about 15 minutes, I think. Okay. So I will have a copy of
it. Got it.
I think I told you last time the translator, the sign language translator, was a little bit upset because she had not gotten the final draft. And that's someone who kind of needs to get it ahead of time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's a lot of work
Did she get a different version that had like different things in it? Because that would be more confusing.
Well, I think there are sort of, you know, there are adjustments, there are corrections, maybe things that they want to add or take out. And she has to have the final copy. So... Interesting.
Right. And I'm sure some of those words that they use are not exactly easy. You gotta look them up. Yeah.
You gotta know. Mm-hmm. Hey, Craig, you sent me a story that I always take my shoes off when I go, and I actually ask. I don't know why I ask, but I ask people when I walk in their house, is it okay if I take my shoes off? And maybe that's because when they come to my home, I actually I'm okay with them keeping their shoes on because I'm afraid that they'll see how sticky the floors are.
That's hilarious.
That's a joke I started telling when therapists would come to take care of Declan. We used to have like physical therapists and speech therapists come to the home, and like here I was sort of battling a little bit of postpartum depression. I was struggling with the fact that I had a child who was disabled, who I wasn't sure how things were going to turn out, and I also had to keep my home clean 5 days a week for therapists who came every single day for about an hour. So it was like I was losing my mind is what I'm saying. And they would say things like, oh, don't worry, we've seen worse. And I would tell them that doesn't really bathe me in relief. I don't feel any better.
Oh, wonderful. I'm not the only one.
I don't know what worse looks like. What's the baseline for that? But you have sent me an article about how disgusting your shoes are. And you should always, always, always take them off. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yes, yeah. I agree with that. Definitely. I think that even if somebody's scared that their feet might smell, because I think that's a reason that people try to leave their shoes on when they go some places, is they might be worried that they're actually doing something else bad. It's still, the shoes are not clean at all. Let's just go with the smelly feet.
Well, let's go with the numbers first. We'll go, Craig, how many pairs of shoes do you think you own?
Like five?
Five. Okay. Esmeralda, how many would you say?
Regular rotation or in total?
In total. Let's go with it in total. Because I'll give you
15?
My total. 15? See, that's low for according to this. Both of you are low. And Bob, can you tell us how many Bob Ferguson's making the show go smoothly tonight? How many pairs of shoes would you say you own?
He is thinking. Mm-hmm. He's counting.
Yes.
maybe 10.
Oh, 10. Okay. Then he's closer to the average. The average man owns 12 pairs, and the average woman owns, Esmeralda, 27 pairs. I would say I'm closer to the 27 pair. I would say it would not be out of the realm of possibility that I have about 30 pairs of shoes. I keep some in a – I was thinking about this today when I was here because I bought a new pair of boots. But I am going to – the reason I bought the boots is because the ones I brought were so excruciatingly painful in the Capitol on the marble floors that I decided I had to get rid of them. So I will dismiss those pair. I will thank them for their service and move on. There was a time, Craig, when I would wipe the bottom of my shoes off with Clorox wipes. Have you ever done that?
No. That sounds very intelligent. You're making good moves.
But I guess what difference does it make, right? Because as soon as you walk back outside, if you take your shoes off,
Went to somebody else's house and you a Clorox wipe in your pocket, at least you cleaned your shoes. That seems really considerate.
It does a little bit. So a study found that shoes at only 2 weeks old had over 400,000 bacteria on the outside, and 27% of that was E. coli. How are we all not just sick all the time? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because we've swallowed so much of it.
That sounds
good. Right. Well, you're saying we've developed an immunity. She's saying that we've developed, yes.
Mm-hmm.
39% of those shoes sampled by the University of Houston had something a little bit scarier, which is C. diff, and that's an antibiotic-resistant form of bacteria. So WGN Television decided they would have their own one of their own employees, Terry. You can go to WGNTV.com. If you want to watch this, and Terry brought in the family's shoes. The family's footwear was tested to see how dangerous it is to wear shoes in the house. They also brought a pair of Robin's shoes. Robin Baumgarten has added to the collection of shoes that were tested at the University of Chicago. They didn't find C. diff, so that's got to feel good, right? And I wonder too, you know, it's interesting because some of these are boots on this countertop. What effect? You know, because the other studies were done in Arizona and in Texas, which are drier and warmer climates, where maybe it's easier to grow bacteria on your shoes, whereas we have a lot of snow and it's cold. I wonder if they don't live as long. So maybe it's good that we're here, right?
Oh, how's
that for a bonus round for
us? It's a really nice sell. We should start throwing that into our advertising. We will kill your shoe funguses.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So they did not find C. diff on all the shoes, but they did find one on one pair of boots. They found some C. diff. But it's not E. coli. It is in the same family. And there's all kinds of bacteria, and bacteria that is in the E. coli family. So the doctor does say, hey, look at this. Use antibacterial wipes on the bottoms of your shoes. See?
Yeah.
That's right.
No, you're just really smart. You're way ahead of the curve.
No, also paranoid. I've told you this story before. A few years ago, I was leaving town to go do a show, and my finger was swollen. And I realized I had a sliver in my finger, like a little tiny thing. And I was like, oh, that's weird. My finger's swollen. I guess it's because of the sliver. And I just took it out and didn't think about it. And I started feeling sick that night. And by the next day, I had this red line going up from my finger up my arm. And I had a staph infection. So that was just like a little tiny thing that who knows where the
– Did you also almost fall in a sinkhole? Because that is my nightmare right there, to have some sort of internal sickness and then be in a sinkhole.
Yeah. It was traveling to my heart. You know who helped me out, who saved my life, was Dr. Kevin Most from CVH. Yes, a regular guest on Steve Cochran's show.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We should bring him on the show sometime to thank him for saving your life.
We should probably do that.
Okay.
I agree. Although he seems to be a morning person.
But he saved your life. He could stay up for that.
What I should do is just go on Steve's show, record that segment with him, thank him, and then just play it at our show. I think it's probably more likely.
A magical radio. That is amazing.
That is the Well, that's a lovely – that's what I've been impressed with, by the way, how many more people we've been able to lure onto our show late at night, including legislators. Because for a while, you have to admit, it was a little hard. People were like, oh, it's a little late for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now we're flush with guest requests.
I do think it's funny. You and I have, and this is so behind the curtain. But when people say, "Well, if you need me," we're like, "We're actually inviting you."
Yeah,
we're gonna do the show anyway.
Right. If a guest
is a strong word.
Yeah, we need nobody. We need no.
We want you. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. Need. Right. We think you would enhance our show. We'd love to give you the opportunity. But yeah, no, we're gonna pretty much we'll carry on. We will tally ho without you.
I just recorded that. I'm gonna play it back to any guest that says they need us. Patty, you can take a break.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show.
Oh, please tell me engineer Bob Ferguson is dancing in the All Saints. Okay, Sue. Is he jamming? Is he jamming?
I've never seen those kind of moves before.
That's right. Just busting out. It's a good night.
Get down. You don't have to be on the table the whole time.
There are so many things we didn't get to. I have a lot of friends that are very excited that The Walking Dead has come back. Craig, you and I are not we're not Walking Dead fans, are we?
No. I've watched it on and off, which actually isn't it's one of those shows where they kill a lot of important people and have a lot of big cliffhangers. So I've seen some of that without actually seeing everything.
Esmeralda, you a fan?
I was in the beginning and then I just kind of dropped off.
People were excited that it was back, so much so that a Montana family watching their favorite show on Sunday evening was a little surprised when the police surrounded their home because a neighbor called 911 because she heard screaming from the house and they thought there was somebody with a gun. That was in the Great Falls, Montana. Can you imagine just watching TV? That's when you really have overdone it with your speaker system, haven't you?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Although it would add an extra element if you got raided by the cops while watching an episode of something like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, when the officers arrived, they heard loud talking from inside the house. They then observed two adults and several children watching a show about firearms, which was actually... The Walking Dead. I love that this piece explains The Walking Dead as a drama about a group of survivors in a world overrun by zombies.
Mm-hmm. By the way, my nephew is turning 9 on Saturday. He's having a zombie party, and I am playing head zombie.
Oh, who's doing your makeup?
Actually, it's just a mask. So I just put a mask on.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm Dr. Collins, and I created the cure for zombies, but in the process, I was zombified.
Okay.
I have a whole role. Yeah, I'm very excited.
So you have, ripped up clothing as well?
Yeah, and then they have Nerf guns. They're going to shoot me at the end. I hope they're not listening. I doubt they are. They're going to shoot me at the end to, win the game.
Oh, I love it.
I'm going to get shot by, 8-9-year-olds. Nerf guns. I'm going to get shot by 8-9-year-olds with Nerf guns.
Very good.
Yep.
All right.
I'm excited.
I like it. Well, you're a good uncle.
Thank you. And I'm ready because I've seen episodes of The Walking Dead recently, so I'm
it's
good.
It's a lot of shuffling. It's a lot of slow walking.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of moaning, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Let me hear your moaning. A little more, draw it out a little more. No, a little more in the back of the throat. Lower in the back of the bottom of the throat.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Esmeralda, what's your zombie sound like? There it is.
See, but she sounds disinterested. That's
they're zombies.
They're
brain
zombies.
Dead.
No, but if I want to eat brains, I think I'm into that, right? I'm like, give me those.
But until the brains are in front of you.
Okay.
Do you not, anytime there's no brains, you're just like, there's nothing.
You're right. I didn't know what part of zombie we
motivation?
Would portray. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't get the whole backstory. If I'm a zombie without any brains around, I would probably sound like Esmeralda.
Right. They just stumble about, and then when they smell brains or whatever, they
right,
have
then they're
a freak
like,
out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a totally different experience. I got it.
The excitable.
What about when I'm being attacked by guns? Do I register that?
Depends on what kind of zombie you are.
I'm not a fast zombie.
Then no. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They just kind of, you don't know what's going on.
All right.
Because they're brains.
This has been really helpful.
You got to pick a tone. You got to pick a tone. Stick to
I will. I'm going to go with just one tone the whole... Wait, when I get shot, though, do I make noises consistent with being shot by Nerf guns?
I don't think you can feel anything because, again, you are dead.
A dead zombie. Right.
Brain dead.
Confusing.
Right. All right.
But don't they have to remove your head in order to kill you? That seems a little...
Yeah, I hope they don't do that part. I'm hoping that I can just, fall down and then they'll have won. So we'll see if any of the kids really know all the rules. Mm-hmm. I might not be coming back after this weekend.
Apparently not. Right. I didn't understand any of the
hubbaloo.
Lost words.
Is what you're looking for.
No, I've lost it. Next topic.
Moving on.
Ronda Rousey. About Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't understand when it was happening. I mean, I kind of in the background knew that she was this, you know, very talented fighter and was using a lot of marketing and she's kind of hot and all these different things. I didn't realize that she was undefeated, which
very undefeated. Yes. She was also winning some of her fights in like seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. She was beating people so dominantly that when she lost, it was a big surprise.
Well, apparently, it was a very big surprise. And she, you know, enjoyed a lot of the benefits of being undefeated, which included being on Ellen DeGeneres' show, being in a lot of, you know, products that were marketed for her and by her. And when she lost, how quickly did she lose to...
I was in, like, the second round. She made it more than a round. So it wasn't a dominant beating that she took, although it was a few hits in a row that were pretty terrible. So
Holly Holm was the woman who defeated her.
Knocked her out.
And Ronda Rousey said that she considered committing suicide after losing, which seems like...
It's surreal to think that someone can be so incredibly successful and have that success, like you just said a second ago, bring her into so many different arenas. She's starring in a couple movies. She's actually going to be in a Roadhouse remake movie. She's the star of that.
Nice.
So there's a lot of things that her fighting career gave her professionally, but because of this one loss that, you know, she is human, it impacted her so dramatically. She hasn't fought again. She has no fights announced, and she may never return to the ring.
Well, she said, and it was in the immediate aftermath, right? So it wasn't and I'm not going to diminish someone who considers taking their life, but it wasn't in the moment of, I'm alone, what am I going to do, here's this bottle, here's this gun, here's this way to take my life. She was talking about the moments after. She was literally sitting there thinking about killing myself. And that exact second, I'm like, I'm nothing. What do I do anymore? And no one gives a crap about me anymore without this, without being this undefeated champion. And she said she looked up and saw her man, Travis, that was standing up there. And she looked up at him and I was like, I need to have his babies. I need to stay alive. So, I mean, there is, I think that... you know, I know people are going to say, oh, you know, how weak is she? Or, you know, you can't handle defeat. I think that talking about it is actually dealing with it, too.
And being known for just one thing. She was definitely famous because of her fighting career and how successful she was. So it was a somewhat logical fear that she thought once she lost once, maybe she'd be forgotten. It's interesting if you're known so well for one thing, if you lose that thing, how do you deal with it? That's sort of what she was dealing with, so...
Yeah, and I think that even if she wasn't thinking about actively taking her own life, I think that everybody has a moment of like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And I think that like negating that or saying that she's weak or there's something wrong with her because she thought that, I think that it's not uncommon. I think it's a very natural thing. If something really horrible happens, to briefly think, I wish I didn't have to be here. I wish, you know, and whatever, or I don't want to be here. I don't want to be alive.
Yeah, maybe
I
not.
I think that we all get to have that moment.
Right, or just I want to give up. Maybe not necessarily that what give up means, but you want to stop trying because you've had a setback as big as this one. Yeah, I think everybody. That's, again, it makes her human again.
It does. It makes her human. And also not being able to remember the word hullabaloo. Thank
right.
you, John Covert.
Hullabaloo? Hullabaloo? I thought it was hullabaloo.
See? Exactly. It's hullabaloo.
Got
hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
Yeah, I don't even know how that got away from me. That was something we meant to get to, was saying something correctly.
Yeah, there you go.
We also meant to talk about the protest against Beyonce that was supposed to happen.
Right.
By the way, I reposted that somebody on Facebook who had used some awful language in a thread. I took a screenshot of the language he used. I kept reposting it, and I finally gave up because he kept deleting it. And he didn't say anything. I don't know if he just thought that it was like magically kept popping back up on his Facebook feed, Craig. But
interesting.
But I also think there is something about having an honest conversation about race, which is why I kept putting it there and saying, no, you said this. And all I had asked him was, why did you use the N-word when it came to talking in this discussion about Beyonce?
Well, and that goes to something we've talked about on the show before about not understanding what social media is. You put that out there to the person that you took a photo of what they said. They put that statement out there. So if they're going to delete it and then pretend they didn't say it, you should realize in the first place that you shouldn't type it to begin with. You shouldn't
And if you did, and I ask you why, I'm actually asking you why did you say that? And you know, and if you don't want to have a conversation about it, then it's a no starter. I think that it's
then
okay
why
to
post
have
it at all? You can take a break here, Patty. We got one more full break.
All right, after this, 720 WGN.